Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Goss, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony! Welcome into Stupidity. Billy, I have an interesting question, really for you and then for Mikey A. Because my feeling down here is that we are enjoying the hell out of a hockey playoff run and an NBA playoff run at the same exact time. But we are annoying the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And so, Billy, I ask you, are you enjoying this run, kind of taken away from the Marlins, who have won 6 of 10, playing pretty good baseball right now? Are you annoyed by this run? Do you love this run? And how do you think the rest of the country is experiencing this run? And then we'll get to Mikey A, because I feel like we're annoying the hell out of Mikey A and everyone else. Show in particular. You know?
Is Mikey A the rest of the country?
I think he's representative of the rest of the country.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, we're just cutting straight to the chase today, huh? None of the biggest podcasts in the world business, thanks to you, presented by DraftKings. Yeah, you took all of that out. You just skipped right past all of that this week. We had kind of like
mailing
a
it in. I mean,
oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's not what I would have. I would have if
you
I was
want me to do the whole open again.
No, I haven't done
it in like a month. I mean,
you did it last week. I think it's fine.
Well, that's because I was left to my own devices. That's what.
Yeah, that's. We don't need to get into that. But here's the thing. I wouldn't say if I was you, I wouldn't say I'm mailing it in. I'd say we have such an action-packed episode. We have so much. We don't have time for that. We need to just get right to it this week. We don't have time to do all the pleasantries and all of the biggest podcasts in the world, bigger than Oprah, all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yep. Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, the biggest podcast in the world, thanks to you. Please subscribe, rate, and review. Unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. By doing that, you have made us the biggest podcast in the world. Do it again. Do it
Neil's
more.
Here.
Yeah, Lord knows I need it. All right, Billy, back to the question I asked you beforehand.
I know your question, but I'm also, I have a question for you, and I don't want to derail this too much, and I don't want to get in trouble for doing this, but I'm still at the studio now. I'm in our secondary studio. In the main studio, there's another podcast that's being recorded that I would assume is going to go out, I would think maybe next week or the week after. Maybe it's this week. I don't really know when it's going to be released. But there's someone who is sitting in your chair right now, Stu Goss, that I feel like you would be so excited to know that his butt is where your butt normally is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You want me to guess or what are you?
Well, I think I told you who it was already. It doesn't matter. But I do
wasn't
wonder.
Listening.
Okay, well, would you like to guess who's in the studio next door sitting there sharing your butt space at the moment?
Charles Barkley.
It's not, but you're really, really close to who it is. Yeah.
Shaq?
Like it's two over.
Definitely not Shaq. I don't think.
Two over from Barkley or two over from Shaq? Because that would be Kenny Smith.
No, well, no.
The Jet.
Yeah.
No?
Well, you've named everyone on the show but the person, so.
Tim Kiley, the executive producer.
What? Who are you even flexing for with that? Like, who are you even showing off for?
He was a guest on Stupidity. He was just elected. He was just, Billy, he's going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. He's a legend, man. EJ.
Yes, it's Ernie. Ernie's sitting in your seat right now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Do you have a list of people? Obviously, you have the people that you would want to talk to, but if you couldn't get the people that you want to talk to, would you have like a list of maybe people that you're fine just sitting in your seat?
Ernie Johnson would certainly be one of them. Tim Kiley would be another one. God. People I just want to sit in my seat. They don't do anything else. They just sit there.
Well, okay. So like I could be like, who do you want as a dream guest? And I'm sure you have like dream guests like Jerry Garcia. If he was still alive, you'd want to talk to him, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. But these are people you couldn't get that are just sitting in your seat. So tomorrow when you come in, if you were to take a, like a whiff of your seat, you would smell Ernie.
Okay.
Well, his right. butt probably, but either way, right. You know.
Ernie's butt.
So but Ernie is smelling me right now, and that can't be. Ernie must be like, what? Jesus Christ.
No, man.
In the seat?
I'm telling you, he's a pro. He looks like a professional. He's got a white jumpsuit on. Like, he looks.
Really?
Man, yeah, he looks great.
Classic. I imagine Ernie sat down and just a puff of smoke came out of the seat.
Yeah, well, that was for me. Yeah.
So that's what I mean.
Yeah. He walked in. When he walked into the studio, I was leaving the restroom, and like I didn't look back, but I just heard his voice entering the studio door, and he was like, hello, whatever it is that he said. I was like, oh my God, it's him. I can hear him. That's EJ.
Eddie Vedder could sit in my seat. I'd be good with it.
No, you'd be pissed off. If Dan was speaking to Eddie Vedder and you were not, you'd be upset.
I'd be upset. You're right. I didn't know Dan was also speaking to him. I thought you just had him sitting in my seat doing nothing.
That's such an interview that could happen, by the way. Dan and Eddie Vedder. I could hear that interview. You know what
I'm gonna,
I mean?
And you can hear
my blood boiling, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go out after this, and I'm going to tell Cougs that Dan should really talk to Eddie Vedder for South Beach Sessions just to kind of see if he can make it happen.
The first time Cougs booked someone and not affiliated with the show. I mean,
I was going to say, so far, I think the big get has been Amin. So,
I mean, let's go, Cougs. I mean, the guest you're booking just happened to be sitting there co-hosting the show with us.
That's not fair. EJ's here today. But he was across the street.
Yeah, but EJ's in town, right? Yes. He's right across
someone,
the street.
Someone saw him at McDonald's downstairs and they asked him if he wanted to go. Yeah, sure.
We have a McDonald's downstairs?
Yeah, there's one like a building over, I think.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's right downstairs. I haven't been to it yet, but I've been told.
I'm shocked you haven't been there every day. You love Mickey D's.
I hear the fries are good, Billy.
I'm a drive-through guy. You know what I mean? I'm not someone that gets down at fast food restaurants that much anymore. Plus, McDonald's now, like if you go to order, it has a giant like panel that you have to touch and like do the order. I don't think that they have, or at least the ones like around me, I don't think they have many that have like a cashier that you actually give your order to. You have to kind of go and like touch a screen and this and that, and then it's just a whole thing.
Your anyway. Food shows up. You don't like that. I mean, give me a human being. Let me talk to a person. Tell them I want a quarter pounder with cheese with extra fries. All right.
Whatever happened to human-to-human interaction, Mikey? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway, so is America annoyed with us?
Forget it. We passed on that. Tim Legler is going to join us here in just a second. Mikey, A, are we annoying the hell out of the rest of the country?
Yes. Okay.
We are.
The problem is you keep winning and there's nothing we can do about it.
Can I
want to tell you how bad those two teams are, but then they just keep winning and it just shuts me up.
I got to tell you, Billy, in the last like couple of months, we have had two teams in the NCAA tournament Final Four. One women's team went to the Final Four as well. The PGA champion was born in West Palm Beach. We have the Heat up 3-0. We have the Panthers up. We own sports. I mean, South Florida, what?
I will say this. By the way, the women, I think, made it to the Elite Eight, not the Final Four. Yeah. But your point is still,
semantics.
Yeah. Here's the thing that's going to sound like super ungrateful. And I don't mean it to be like ungrateful or spoiled or bratty or whatever. But like,
you're going
to
go full Boston on us?
How about a little less sports? You know what I mean? Like, it's to every night we're up until 1 a.m. watching these games. How about a night off? You know what I mean? Like, why do we have to watch the Eastern Conference Finals every single night in basketball or hockey? Like, let's just take a day or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how the schedule worked out, and that's because we're in them. Usually, you're right, we're not accustomed to talking sports this late on the calendar.
It's not that. It's the staying up. It's the watching. It's the caring. Like, I was programming myself to not be caring about this point in the year. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, the Panthers have done that to us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't imagine why we hate you guys right now.
Yeah.
But well, we've always had the Heat. Yeah, we've always had the Heat. Right. We have another playoff game tonight, Mike, and we might
I'm going to have to watch a sweep tonight. Oh, man.
Are you guys getting the Whalers? Are you guys getting the Whalers back?
No.
Huh.
I don't think so. There was talk that it would have been the Islanders, and now they're trying to get Arizona out here, but that's not
going
to happen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's going on with Arizona? Speaking of, we're big puck heads over here. I heard that they had some sort of issue with their arena. They're playing at a college arena, right? And then I guess they don't want to make them another arena, so I thought there was talk that you were going to get the Whalers back.
Yeah, they're doing the whole, yeah, come out here. We totally want you as long as everybody else pays for it.
Why?
Nobody wants to come to Connecticut. Nobody wants to come here.
Why do you guys still at the airport? I don't know if it's still. The last time I was there, I think, was in 2020. Why, as of 2020, the last time I flew in there, are they still selling Whalers gear at the airport? But who's getting that money?
Because people buy it.
Who's getting that money? Like, who is profiting off of the Whalers right now?
That is a wonderful question. I have no idea. I hope it's the Hurricanes.
Probably the guy who has the licensing and merchandise with that logo on it. No, I mean, it should be me. I wish it was me.
That is a fantastic question, Billy.
Yeah,
I ask sometimes.
Right. Yeah, but no one has the answer.
Well, you know, I'm not in charge of the answers. I'm just asking the questions.
You're in charge of the questions.
Yeah.
Right. We're in charge of the answers.
I mean, I don't know. What do you want me to do about it? I have a follow-up question.
Okay, well, why don't we find out who gets the revenue from the Hartford Whalers sales first?
I didn't think we were going to get to the Whalers, so I have a follow-up. So,
okay, as you're doing a whale of a job. Go ahead.
Thank you. So do you root for or against the Hurricanes, Mikey?
Me? I'm not from Connecticut.
Well, I mean, presumably, if you were like a Connecticut, I guess then I shouldn't ask you because you have your own teams. Anyway.
Yeah, the Carolina Hurricanes. People I know around here, it's very divided. I will say that there are people that followed the Whalers, and as much as they didn't want to, they became Hurricanes fans. And then there are people that just won't be a Hurricanes fan because the owner and because they hate that the Whalers left.
Yeah,
it's kind of lame though, right? The Whalers left. Like, you don't, you know, you're a Hurricane fan now. You live in Hartford, Connecticut. You're rooting for Carolina. Get out of here.
As if your life wasn't bad enough.
Mikey A mentioned no one wants to go to Connecticut, and he's right. Tim Legler has to go there still. He's forced because he works for ESPN. He's going to join us here. He's headed up to Bristol, Connecticut to do some hits for the conference finals and the NBA finals. But he stops here first to talk about Jimmy Butler and how the f*** did this happen?
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
The NBA playoffs continue. The Lakers on the brink of elimination. The Celtics on the brink of elimination as well. Tim Legler, the great NBA analyst for ESPN, old friend. He joins us right now during a very busy time for him. Thank you, Legs, for joining us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. These playoffs have been something, man. Like, are we really on the verge of having two sweeps in the conference finals? That's what's amazing to me.
It is amazing. What's also amazing is the NBA is sitting here. They had the potential when these conference finals started to have Celtics, Lakers, or at the very least, maybe LeBron playing against his former team, the Heat. And now they're staring at a series that Miami wants, a series that Denver wants, but I'm not certain anyone else wants, Legs, and that's the Heat and the Nuggets.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. You know, it's definitely when you start writing down the potential pairings for how this all could have gone, it was pretty enticing, man. You're salivating at the thought of some of these series. But at the end of the day, the two teams that by far have played the best basketball are Denver and Miami. And so it would be fitting if they get an opportunity to play for the title. And look, if you really truly love hoops, you're not going to mind it, because Jokic is just incredible, one of a kind player to watch. The Heat are, without doubt, I think the most exceptionally coached team in the league. And you got Jimmy Butler playing at this level. So there's still going to be a lot there, but I hear you. This is not at all what some of those storylines were going to look like.
Knowing that you have a bunch of hits scheduled, I guess, for the rest of the week, do you want things to end in a sweep so you can already start previewing the finals, or do you want games that you can talk about?
To be honest with you, when I get to this time of the year, I know I'm going to be working almost every day, and I'd much rather have compelling series. Like, I just would. And the thing is, it's crazy. It's like, if these games end potentially Tuesday night, these series, and there's two sweeps, and it's over by Tuesday night, like, I was scheduled to be on TV every night the rest of the week, because you think you're going to get games, you know, 5, 6, 7 maybe in some of these series. I probably would have some time off to just go home and chill out and get ready for the finals. But I love what I do. This time of year is what you live for. I want to see some drama. And right now there has not been a whole lot in these two series, and particularly what Miami did to Boston the other night. I mean, it really makes you think, are they even going to be able to muster up anything in a Game 4? Because they did not look like, by about the middle of the third quarter, there was any belief whatsoever in their eyes. And when you take belief away, usually you're going to go ahead and finish the deal. Like, I would find it more likely for the Lakers to be able to win a game than I would the Celtics at this point.
Totally agree. Legs, let's stay with the Heat and the Eastern Conference Finals. What were your thoughts? And just follow me down this path. Before the Heat signed Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy Butler ended up in Miami, what were your thoughts of Jimmy Butler as a player before he got to Miami?
My thoughts of Jimmy Butler were probably he was a guy that I understood was, you know, perennial all-star caliber player. He was not a guy that I would have listed as a superstar, or a guy that if I said, you know, name you know, the top stars in the league, he wasn't coming to mind. I really liked about Jimmy Butler was, I always felt like when I watched him, he competed physically, defensively, like it mattered to him to play that way. But I've always found him to be an unusual offensive player, that there were times I'd watch him and I didn't understand why he'd go 6 straight minutes and not look like he was taking advantage of obvious scoring opportunities. Like, he would come to these drives down the lane, he'd come to these jumps from the rim, look like obviously he's going to elevate, go up and try to score something, maybe take it back out. And he would even do that sometimes in the playoffs. So I just thought he was a guy that offensively, it didn't matter that much to him to score. I appreciated how hard he competed. He was not somebody I would ever categorize as a superstar prior to his arrival in Miami.
Okay, so what the hell has happened? Because now Jimmy Butler's name is being mentioned in the same sentence as Kobe Bryant's, as LeBron James, as Michael Jordan. I mean, it's crazy, because I'm with you. I thought if Jimmy Butler was your second or third best player, you had a really good team. Never, Legs, in my wildest dreams, did I think if Jimmy Butler was your best player, you'd be going to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 times, 1 NBA final. So I'll ask you, is it Heat culture? Is it Spoelstra? Is it Jimmy? What the hell happened to Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, I think if I had to pinpoint the number one reason, I think there is an obvious respect and admiration that Jimmy Butler has that has allowed their relationship, you know, to go to this extent, that Jimmy Butler feels empowered to be this good offensively, and he respects how well coached they are in his mind, to think, I have a legitimate shot here with this group, the way we play, the way we are coached. If I can elevate my game to give us, you know, that star offensive talent every night, we have a chance to win the whole thing because of how much he respects Eric Spoelstra. There's nothing more empowering to a player than knowing that you have a guy that you're playing for that always has the right answers. That is, everything that he says sounds smart. Everything that he says, you believe and buy into. And his consistency with which he, you know, operates every day, his consistency with the way he treats people, the way he empowers the entire roster and gets the most out of them because he communicates with them and he uses them for their strength. There's no BS about Eric Spoelstra. Players appreciate that. But most importantly, what they appreciate is when you say something, it actually really makes a lot of sense. Players don't hear that all the time. So many guys, it's very cliche type stuff they get. They don't get the kind of creativity or ingenuity that makes a light bulb go off above their heads. Wow, you know, we got a shot here. Like, this guy doesn't miss any details. I think Jimmy Butler feels that way about Eric Spoelstra, and as a result, it's almost like he's challenged himself now to be this version of himself offensively, because I did not think that this was his ceiling either. So don't feel bad if you didn't think that. I do this every night. I have to watch these games. I've been doing it for a long time. I think I'm pretty good at it. I did not see this as Jimmy Butler's ceiling offensively. I just didn't know how is a guy that basically kind of lives in the middle area of the floor, doesn't really shoot threes, doesn't shoot them at a high rate, got to do everything from 18 feet and in, and actually most of the time seems like a little bit like a reluctant scorer. How does a guy that I just described go on a postseason run where he averages 30 points a game? I didn't see it coming. So, but I do believe that if you had to put your thumb on it, it would be that relationship between he and Eric Spoelstra, and the respect level that he has for him has forced him to challenge himself to be this great.
How incredible do you think it is that we've seen, I guess, the Heat role players stepping up the way that they have? Because I believe I saw the stat that the highest drafted player on the Heat's roster is Cody Zeller, who was drafted in 2013. So they've kind of just put this together with a MASH unit.
Yeah, it's crazy. Look, it's Eric Spoelstra's greatest quality as a coach. Well, I'd say two greatest. One, I already mentioned the details. What I mean by that is, there aren't, believe it or not, even at the NBA level, it's not like every guy that's running a team, that's coaching a team, is seeing all 10 players at the same time and can absolutely process everything that's going on with all 10 guys to know that this is the appropriate angle of the screen. This is the timing on the ball reversal, right? Little things like that that make all the difference in execution. Eric Spoelstra sees it all happening in real time, and he's processing things at a faster rate than the guys he's coaching against. So that's probably his greatest quality, because that is just, I think, something that a lot of that is innate. He's born with a mind like that, and then just years of honing it at this level. But the other thing he does better than anybody else, he takes guys, role players, and he looks at what they do well. Because every player outside of your top guys, the stars, because they're supposed to be able to do a little bit of everything, right? Everybody else in the NBA, I was one of these guys, you have a lane that you stay in. You better do something exceptionally well, whether it's rebounds, whether you're a point guard, it can run a team, a shooter, whatever it may be. You better do something at an elite level to find minutes on an NBA roster. Okay, so everybody's got their lane. He looks at what you do and knows that there are strengths and there are weaknesses. His job is to value you for what you do, utilize you for that to help the team, empower you to do it, give you confidence to do it. And then he looks at it like it's his job to protect you from your weaknesses. If you're not a guy that's got a great handle and you don't handle ball well against pressure, he's going to figure out a way to make sure when you're on the court, you don't have to do those things. If you're not a great defender, he's going to make sure you're not hung out on an island to guard guys, and then focus on the negative aspects of your game. And believe it or not, there are too many coaches, not just in the NBA, college basketball, AAU, high school coaches that dwell on what you don't do well. And they're going to look for an excuse of why that gives them insecurity and why they can play you, because that's what they're focusing on. Eric Spoelstra is the exact opposite. I'm going to focus on what you do well, and we are going to utilize that. And now we're going to figure out a way that you're not exposed for your weaknesses. And that's what you do.
Is this his best coaching job? Because before, he's had obviously superstars on his team, so it's easy to overlook him as a coach when he's coaching LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. He now has Jimmy, who's having an incredible postseason. But is this his best coaching job?
Yeah, I mean, I think every year is kind of like that. I started saying this guy was a top five coach, you know, back in the days he was at Miami, because I always understood watching them play the imprint that he had on the way they played offensively and you know, the cuts and the ball movement, that was him. yeah, you had great talent, but you have to get those guys to play a certain style that you're going to win with. So I always recognized in him early on. And I coming down there in the summers a few years in a row, I was working at Dwayne Wade's fantasy camp, and Eric was always there, and I got a chance to kind of just talk with him, like casually just pick his brain and just talk about stuff. And you're like, man, this guy's just so sharp. So I've always felt he's a great coach. But yeah, this will be a job in which he'll get that kind of credit, because look where they came from. Look at their regular season and look at how they barely, you know, eked their way through to get into a best of seven series. And boom, you take out the number one seed. You're about to take out the number two seed. And you also, you know, in the meantime, get a team that was, I thought, going to, you know, give them fits in New York because of the year they had and how physical they were. And you're going to dispatch these teams and be, you know, going to be playing for an NBA championship. So there's, you're not going to get me to argue with you if you say this is the best coaching job of his career. I just think we don't want to shortchange other years that he hasn't led to a finals appearance, because the guy's just a great coach, period.
Legs, I'm glad he's finally getting his due, because he lives underneath the shadow of an all-time great, a Hall of Famer, and Pat Riley. So I am wondering here, I'm not in a hypothetical world. I am certainly not trying to kick Eric Spoelstra out of town, because we love him and he's fantastic. But if he decided he wanted to get out from underneath of Pat Riley and said, I want to go elsewhere, would he be number one on everyone's coaching list right now? Because there are some plum jobs open right now, as you know.
Without question, without yes. question. And look, the league has never seen three jobs, the caliber of which are open right now at the same time. And I'm talking about the talent at the top of these rosters. You've got a team right now with Giannis Antetokounmpo on it that's open. You've got a team with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker that's open, right? You've got these jobs that are ready to win now. Philadelphia's got the current MVP and James Harden on it, and Tyrese Maxey. Like, you've never seen jobs like this open at the same time. So if he chose it, there is no question in my mind. And look, I don't think anybody thinks that. Some part of me thinks that Eric Spoelstra is just one of those guys that will spend his entire life with one organization. It just seems like that's what he wants to do. Look, I know that, you know, I'm not going to be surprised by anything, the decisions that people make at a given time. I'd be shocked. But if Eric Spoelstra, you know, none of these jobs were filled and the Heat, you know, won or lost the NBA Finals, regardless, the next day, if Eric Spoelstra made it clear that he was looking, he'd be the first guy hired.
I think the Celtics would fire Joe Mazzulla to get Eric Spoelstra, don't you?
I think the Celtics would like, they'd make that trade right now, like right before the game.
Yes.
Like, you would just see Eric Spoelstra walk down, you know, put on the Celtics gear, sit on their bench. There's no question in my mind. And look, Mazzulla's going to get beat up probably disproportionately right now. Because look, in stark contrast to the guy you're going up against. But also, look, this was a young guy thrown into a tough situation at the start of the year, getting that team to went to the finals, and you're the head coach under, you know, controversial circumstances. Here you go. They're expecting to win a title this year. And it was great for the first 2-3 months. There was very little pressure. They looked like a team that was destined to win a championship this year. They were head and shoulders the best team in the league in the first 2.5 months of the season. Been a rocky road ever since, and they have had some real head-scratching moments in the postseason in each series. And now he's just getting obviously blasted in Boston with talk radio, print media, fan base, you name it. They are going at him hard. And it certainly doesn't help when you got a chance to win a game and get into a series and they get beat the way that they did last night, because they were dismantled from start to finish in that game. And like I said earlier, I don't see belief in their eyes. They had that blank stare expression on their face. Their two star players played horribly, and just all the way across that roster, they looked like an absolutely beaten team that just had their heart taken from them. And if they continue that for another game in game four and they lose another one decisively, that's the taste you get at the end of this year. I don't think there's anything that's safe right now. Even a guy that they gave a ringing endorsement to midseason, I think they are revisiting that as we speak.
He's not going to make it, Legs. If they get swept here, he's not going to make it. There's no way, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it, because you've got other things going on with that team as well. It's not just the fact, oh, they got outplayed. This doesn't look like the same team that you saw a year ago in the finals, you saw earlier in the year, which in a lot of ways, you think about it, the first half of the season, he didn't touch much. And it was just like an extension of lost in the finals. Usually those teams, and especially when they've got youth and stars, they come out of that and they're just kind of, they're so hungry at the start of the year because they're disappointed. They had a taste. They didn't get it done. They think this is their year. They come sprinting out of the gate. Well, after you've been with a team calling the shots for a few months, now it really starts to permeate who you are as a head coach coming out in your team every night. And since that point in the season, this has been disappointing. And if they get swept by a Heat team that was an 8 seed, when you think you're going to win a championship and the Bucks have been taken out for you, you don't even have to deal with the Bucks anymore. Now you're going to have serious question marks about, is it just too much for him? Is the job too big for him with this particular group, despite the fact he's obviously very sharp, very respected in NBA circles. And if that were to happen, he will get another head coaching job, but people might just deem this particular job a little bit too big for him.
Billy, I don't know how you feel about this, but it seems like Spo's stock will never be higher. I mean,
what do you think he could get, legs, on the open market, Spo?
Whatever he wants.
Yeah, pretty much. Whatever the top dollar is going to anybody out there, because think about it. I don't know if they're going to win a championship or not. I have a feeling Denver would be favored in that series. Maybe they come off a little bit short, but look at now what this guy has done. Look at his career, his resume, and getting a chance to do this again with this group. You got three undrafted players that outscored the Celtics 2 stars last night. I mean, that's coaching. That is coaching. And that's individually guys wanting to get better and working on their games too. So give those guys like Gabe Vincent, you know, a lot of credit. Martin, Duncan Robinson, give those guys credit for where they came from and wanting it and fighting through. But there's no question it's a reflection of coaching to get those kind of contributions out of this roster. So, yeah, name it. Whatever the top figure is in the league, just tackle in $1 million per year to Eric Spoelstra.
Billy's coming around. I can see it. I can see it. Tack on $1 million extra for Spoelstra. Tim Legler is with us. Legs, can you explain to us? My wife walks around the house when the Western Conference Finals are on, and she refuses to believe Nikola Jokic is the best player in the NBA. What the f*** are we seeing? Can you explain to people just how great this man is?
No, it's hard, man. It is hard. And there's times I watch this guy and say, Is there some reason why we don't just all universally accept that this is the best player in the NBA? Like every day this debate comes up and we're always looking for a reason to say it's someone else. No, it's Giannis. It's Curry. It's LeBron. It's KD. Whoever. Take your pick. Embiid this year wins the MVP. Because athletically they can do things that he can't. But what he is doing right now, the way that he is controlling the game is really unlike anything we've ever seen at his spot for a big guy to control the game the way he does with his passing, his rebounding, his scoring. And he's a lot like, compare him, if I could cross sports, to like a Wayne Gretzky type in that.
The great one.
You always felt like when you're watching Gretzky, hockey's a fast sport and there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's very chaotic when you watch the game. And it just felt like Wayne Gretzky was seeing everything significantly ahead of when everybody else on the court was. And that's kind of what Jokic is doing. The way that he reads the floor and his IQ for the game, and then having the size to be able to make any pass on the court, that's what gives him such an advantage. Because it's one thing to see it, but if you're a 6'2 guard and you see the game exactly the same way Jokic does, doesn't mean you can get the ball where it needs to, because there's too many long arms in the way and it's difficult to get the right angle or the right velocity on a ball. He doesn't have that issue because he's 6'11". So he can get the ball anywhere he needs to exactly when it needs to be delivered, and he is seeing exactly where it needs to go, and he reads that almost flawlessly. And that is what is so brilliant about the guy to watch. You can't speed him up. He's obviously stronger than he looks, despite the fact he doesn't have 1 ounce of muscle definition on his body. He's clearly stronger than he looks because he's fairly immovable on both glasses. And even when he backs the guy down, he gets where he wants to. And he's got, the last part of it is, he's got just an insane touch for a guy that big. How soft his ball is up on the glass or on the backboard on the rim is just incredible. You can't teach it. It's something he was born with. And give Denver all the credit in the world, man, because they drafted this guy in the second round, and they had no idea what they were getting. But they had to have some inkling that they thought he could be pretty good, and look what he has turned into there. So, yeah, just enjoy it. Enjoy it. I get the same questions. My own family asked me that, too. My daughter, who played college hoops, she's like, "That, wait a minute." She always calls him Dad Bod. Is Dad Bod, are they still playing? They're still alive in the playoffs? Because that's kind of what he looks like. People can relate to him athletically. And he's special, man. He's special. He's fun. We're lucky. The league is lucky to have a guy like that, because he is just so fun to watch.
Cody Zeller was drafted a full round ahead of him. I mean, this is amazing. What the hell are we doing? Two quick things, Legs, and we'll get you out of here. Carmelo Anthony retires today. Sum up his career for us, Legs. A guy who, great scorer, never won a title. Not certain he met the expectations we had for him, but also not certain the expectations weren't unfair to Carmelo Anthony. So how would you sum up his career, obviously going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I agree. I think ultimately for a guy that is on that level coming out and then puts up those kind of numbers year in, year out, ultimately you're going to be judged by, were you the best player on a team that won a championship, right? And that's unfortunately going to be the standard by which he's compared. I think he's going to go down in most people's minds. The way you're going to view him is as a scorer. And there's been a lot of those guys in the league that have played, and that was their primary role on teams, and was to go get buckets, and he did it as well as any player in his generation. But ultimately, it takes more than that if you're the best player on a team to win a championship, and that's where he came up a little bit short. There is one thing I feel bad for Carmelo Anthony about. There was a stage of his career that should have come next that he didn't get, and this is what I mean by that. When he left the Knicks, you know, he started bouncing around from Oklahoma City and Houston, and he was going making these stops. He wasn't really ever allowed to be himself, but just in a more limited number of minutes, right? He wasn't. They were asking him to be a pick-and-pop player, stand on the perimeter and spot up around great offensive players. That's not who Carmelo Anthony is. And now you're going to get a guy that's unhappy. You're going to get a guy with diminished returns. You're going to get a guy that's not very efficient at all, because he's not like a pure catch-and-shoot shooter. He's a rhythm player. And I felt like, because of his age and what he could still do, I felt like there was a role for him. If he would have accepted it, 25 minutes a night off the bench and go get 18. But while you're out there, we're going to let you be mellow. You just play the way you've always played, because our team needs that. But we can't have you out there for 38 minutes playing like that, because that's not running our offense through you. But in 20, 25 minutes a night, with a second unit mostly, you have tremendous value on a really good team. And I felt like that role was skipped over, and they just sent him to stand around and spot up when he still had a lot more to do offensively. So I actually felt sorry for him in some of those stops.
Tim, last thing here. We had J.J. Redick on the show today. We've had some fun with J.J. Redick because, you know, he goes on First Take and he likes to tell you that Steph Curry was better than Larry Bird. And I don't doubt, like, he was, okay, or he is. Yeah. Steph Curry, the modern-day player, is better than the guy that played – you know, 20, 30 years ago. Tim Legler is a sharpshooter, a sniper, one of the great shooters we've ever seen in the NBA, won the NBA three-point contest. So we like to play a little game, Timmy, okay? It's called Shot for Your Life, okay? Your life is depending on whether or not this ball goes in. And you only have two choices as to who could take the shot. And one of those choices is not you, okay, Legler? You only have two. Redick or Bird, Shot for Your Life. Who are you taking?
I'm taking Bird, but
yes!
I'm not. Mm. Yeah, I'm taking Bird. I was disappointed because I thought you were going to say me or somebody else, and I'm always going to take me.
Yes,
because I know I'm invested in my own life more than any other person is going to take that shot.
You're going to try harder to make it the Bird will, right?
I'm going to care a little bit more. Like, I don't know, you know, if a person's shooting for my life and for whatever reason, they got something else going on in their own life that's distracted them. That's a problem for me.
Or they hate you. Right.
Or, whatever reason, they just genuinely, I could name a lot of people I wouldn't have step up and take that shot.
Who would want you dead? Yeah, who would want you dead? Top five people
who would
want you dead,
Legler. Yeah, who would miss, who would just clank it on purpose.
Oh, God, that's a good one. I don't even know if I could do that, because now I got to get very, very personal on the air. Start bringing up family members and whatnot. I don't think I need to do that today.
All right, but next time you come on, if you can give us a top five list of NBA players, okay? Not
family,
not
yeah.
Just NBA players right. Who would clank one just because they don't want legs to go away.
All right, you give me time to think about that. Next time I come on, I'll have a great list for you.
All right, we'll do it during the finals, okay?
All right.
All right, we appreciate it. We know it's a busy time. Safe travels to you.
Anytime.
And yep, we look forward to your top five people all who right. would want Tim Legler dead next time he's
hey,
on.
Hey, and I want to real quick finish. I said Larry Bird so quickly. You're talking about that is my favorite athlete of all time. So that was right. that was
same.
Probably you could have gone a different direction. I would have maybe picked JJ. I can't pick J.J. Redick against Larry Bird.
No, of course you can't. Even if he wasn't your favorite athlete of all time. I mean, the object is to stay alive, Legs, okay?
Right, exactly. I hear you.
Know those Duke guys. They only care about Duke guys. That's it, you know? All right, man. Safe travels. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you around the NBA Finals. All right.
All right. Sounds good. See you.
Thanks, Legs. So there's a McDonald's right downstairs, huh?
There's a McDonald's. I think if you go down, turn the corner, I think it's at the building right next to us downstairs, I believe.
All right. Walk me there tomorrow when I see you, okay?
Well, I mean, I probably
I'll buy you lunch. Yeah.
I feel bad because someone...
Anything from the dollar menu.
We had... Dude, don't get me started on the dollar
I'll get
menu.
Two things from the dollar menu, okay?
No, the dollar menu right now, McDonald's, I went on the weekend, says $1, $2, or $3 for the dollar menu.
That's not a dollar menu.
There's not... A item on there that is $1. Not a single item. There's something that's like one something, and I think it's like a napkin. There's nothing that is a dollar at McDonald's anymore. It's crazy. A McChicken used to be a dollar. Now it's like $2.30 something. Have you seen people outraged about hash browns? Hash browns are like $3.19 or something now. It's insane.
That's crazy. Those McChickens, I used to load up on those off the dollar menu. They're so good. So good. Little spicy mayo on there. Ooh, fantastic. Billy.
Hey.
Are you feeling what I'm feeling after talking to Legs there?
What are we feeling? Yes, but what are we feeling just so I'm on the same page?
What we're feeling is, and I think it's a good lane for you and I to run with on the show, okay? Because if for no other reason, it will piss everyone off on the show. It's time for Spo to go.
Oh, wow.
It rhymes and everything.
Spo must go.
Yes, Spo must go. I mean, he'll never have more value than he has right now because he's doing it with Jimmy Butler as his best player. And I'm not certain who the second best player is. It changes night to night. Most people will say it's Bam, but I'm not certain it's Bam. On any given night, it could be Gabe Vincent. It could be Max Strus. It could be Duncan Robinson. If this guy takes Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, and Gabe Vincent to the NBA Finals. No Tyler Hero, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, stock. He could name his team, name the price, and name his role. He could be head coach and president. Get rid of Riley. How about that?
Do you think Tyler Hero wants the Heat to lose?
Eventually.
Yeah.
A game.
How far do you think he wants them to go? Like, because if you win a title without you, you feel kind of like crappy. Like, what do you want to do with that ring?
Right. Do you bring him back in the NBA Finals if he's healthy?
I don't think he is healthy, is he?
Yeah, but you get a long break between now. If they can close it out, you get a long break before the NBA Finals. And so he played pretty well without him. He cannot be enjoying this. I don't care what he says.
You have to say yes, but there's no way, right?
You have to say yes while secretly being like, are you kidding me? Like... there's a glaring absence, and that glaring absence is me. And yet, they're on the verge of sweeping the Celtics. Like,
man, Stugatz, the way that Dan's looking at EJ right now, the smile he has, I haven't seen that face in years.
Right. It's the way I used to make him feel.
Yeah.
Stupidity. Stugatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer
is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.